Channel 2 Right, Channel 2 Right, and a continuation of the talk with Burl and Icy Cook after breakfast, in the living room this Sunday morning, the 29th of September, 74. Channel 2 Right, and a continuation of the talk with Icy and Burl Cook this Sunday morning after breakfast in the living room. The 29th of September, 74. Channel 2 Right, in continuation of the talk with Burl and Icy Cook this Sunday morning in the living room after breakfast. This 29th of September, 74.
Did you settle down when you all come back? You settled down then, and you didn't just kept your mind on your business when you come back from Ohio.
Well, yes, we had to. When I was laid off from there, I had for a short period when the Trump hit, you see. The factory slowed down and I was laid off, and they said they would notify me, and if I reported back within 30 days, I could have my job back.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty good job then. I could go in now with a white shirt on. I was young then, and I wore white shirts all the time. I could go in now and work 8 hours with a white shirt on.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wouldn't be as dirty as that. Get the loaf.
Yeah.
Out. See?
What would you do? Yeah.
I was in the rubber factory.
Yeah.
All that dirty was my hand. I was handling that, and I could wear gloves. I was handling the raw rubber. The bead on that goes around the top.
Yeah.
Before it was put on the shoe.
Yeah.
You know, there's a hard three-cornered V around the cut automobile top.
Yeah. Oh, that.
That was well, and I had to just stand at the table. And when I got them laid close together for to be put in the furnaces to cure, so many on a board, I just turned the on a cloth. I just turned another cloth down over, started right over again, laying beads on that. That's all I had to do.
Yeah.
And then with my hand.
Yeah, make $10 a day.
Well, seven and a half. 4 days, I draw $3 $10 bills.
Yeah.
That's $7 and a half.
Yeah. Four days, yeah.
That was big money.
That big money then.
Yeah. But it didn't go back when you called.
But they just, it's just too much going on up there.
Too confining.
Just stand there for 8 hours.
8 hours right inside. And, well, it's just too confining, that's all.
Yeah.
Well,
got back down here, you needed a pretty considerable with you and, well, say one brother and your daddy. You all could turn out a lot of work.
Yes, but that was the point, guy. The one wasn't able to work.
It's your seat over here.
The one wasn't able to work. And,
your daddy?
Well, he wasn't too able. He broke down with sugar diabetes.
Oh.
We was putting up hay down yonder in the barn.
Yeah.
Took a severe headache one evening, and Dr. Noel had moved Newton over here over to Clay Courthouse. Well, he got a hold of Doc Noel, and Dr. Noel found that he had sugar diabetes. And he wasn't too able to work.
No, that put the brakes on.
Yes, and my brother that was in World War I, he wasn't able to work.
Yeah.
See, and married. Oh, in a year or two. We come back here in 21.
Bob was a what?
Tool dresser, worked on a drilling well.
Oh.
Worked in Orfield on a drilling well.
He lived here, but he wouldn't work.
No. The brother that was, middle brother that was in World War I, he was knocked out, wasn't able to work.
How long did he last?
Well, he died 4 years ago, this 20th day of this last October.
Oh, I see.
In Floyd.
Yeah, but he couldn't work out here.
Oh, no. No, huh? No.
Yeah.
No.
He had to go to town.
Well, he married.
Yeah.
And the woman he married worked in A.W. Cox department store in Georgetown. She was a Cox.
Oh.
And worked for her.
Oh.
Some of her relatives.
Yeah.
So, practically, it's just been, well, the main burden was on me on the farm.
It's been practically a one-man farm.
Well, till after we got the young'uns, and they was, but now they was little codgers, but they was out doing.
Was it?
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
And I could send them to do things, and I could depend on it being done.
Yeah. But your daddy lived a good while.
Yes, he died. We come back here in November 1920. And he lived till 14th day of January 1931. And my mother lived.
Well, now he done some.
He done some
carpentering.
Huh?
He done the carpentering.
Who?
Your daddy.
Carpentering.
When you was building on this house.
Oh no. No, that process started after my daddy and mother died.
Oh, it did. You lived in the old house.
We tore this down, all but this room and that one. Tore the roof off of it.
Yeah.
Just the walls.
Yeah.
We started in 1930. My daddy lived in Clendenin from 26 to 31.
Yeah.
My daddy and mother lived in Glendenin from 26 to 31.
Yeah. So he had to be over there close to the doctor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well,
and it's amazing what doctors will do. Did you know that? A fella can't get along without them.
Yeah.
And you can't afford them.
And sometimes it's hard to get along with them.
I'll tell you this. When my mother come here in 1936, the old doctors that my daddy and her went down there under, they both developed sugar.
Oh, both of them?
Yeah. And when my daddy and mother went down there, they went down there under old Dr. Ray. Man, by the name of Ray. Well, he made his money, you know, and a young doctor, Fleischman, come in, went in the office with him, and practiced with him a while. Well, Dr. Ray slips out. And he leaves his patients all to Dr. Fleischman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when mother come up here and she got sick, took a sick spell in the fall. What do you want?
No, nothing. She didn't really get with that.
And I'll have him come in when he comes in. So, when mother come up here, she took a sick spell, and I had to call Fleischman to come up to see her. She was in there in the bed, and when he come out, I followed him out on the porch. I said, "Well, Doc," I said, "how much do I owe you? What do you suppose his reply was?"
Just no idea.
That's right. You wouldn't. He said, "Well," he said, "let's see." He said, "she gets a good income, don't she?"
Uh-oh.
Now, that happened right there on that not on that porch, but on the old porch.
Yes. Yeah.
I said, "Now, look here, Doc." I said, "I want to know what this bill is. I'm paying it today." We're not discussing how much of an income she have. I didn't tell him. She didn't have any income. She didn't have enough, only $45, and she couldn't keep herself going, pay her town taxes and all down there at Clinton, and have anything to live on. That's why she had to come up here.
Yeah.
And I said, "We're not not concerned about her income. I want to pay this bill." Well, he said about $13. And I just paid him and he went on. And it's the last time he was in the home.
Yeah.
I went in and told mother what happened. I said, "Now, we're going to get Dr. Smith over here to play. He's an honest doctor. We get him, call him over here, and it'd be anywhere from $3 to $6.
Yeah.
Leo, Mom was in here looking for you. She said she'd talk to you later. She wants something or another. So you see what people will do. It ain't no wonder the Bible speaks to the lawyers and the doctors, do you? Did you ever read that in the Bible?
It's pretty strong, isn't it?
Did you ever read that in the Bible?
Yeah.
About the doctors and the lawyers?
Yes. It's pretty strong.
Yes, it's strong. It's strong.
How's it go?
Well, I just can't quote it exactly,
yeah.
And I'm afraid. You see, I wouldn't want to misquote. You see, the Bible says that he that addeth to or taketh from.
You're liable to add to, aren't you?
That's right.
Put in a little of your own ideas.
Not intentionally, you
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
I don't know. A fellow quotes as near as you can and don't make it specific, just
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
You see, there's always a way out if you want to be fair with yourself.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
I expect that happens a lot of times where a fellow puts his own ideas into these quotations in the scriptures.
Yeah, like preachers used to say. I've heard preachers say, well, read between the lines.
Yeah.
Lady, there ain't no reading between the lines in that book.
Yeah.
It's all that.
Not supposed to.
No. What did she want? She's outside. I have an idea she's in the cellar, Leo. People want to talk to you from some reason. Go hunt her up.
How do you get to the cellar?
Go right out there. That's the cellar where you put your boxes
out
in.
There.
Yeah.
You don't have a cellar under the porch there?
No. We have a bunch of junk but under there, but we don't have a cellar. I aimed to put a cellar under this room here, but never did. Like
you,
terrific.
Yeah. You don't actually.
We didn't need it.
Didn't need it.
No, we didn't need it.
Well, it's a lot of good space going to waste, isn't it?
Yes,
that's
yeah. it. You wait long under that stool there, down under there. I can stand straight down there. Wouldn't have had to grade it out much, but we don't need it.
You know, I don't understand that. A while ago, that wind was just blowing them trees to beat everything. And now look at that. Just as quiet.
Yes. Well, it's as the old saying, it's kind of cloudy, and there's always a calm just before a storm, you know.
Yeah.
The wind, when it's blowing, you hardly ever see it start raining when the wind's blowing hard. The wind always ceases.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the rain comes.
Yeah. The wind blows it in. Well, I didn't realize that, so you practically got this thing going by yourself, with a little help from the others.
Yes.
Now, your daddy, he was interested in it.
Sure,
But his health just gave
That's
away.
That's exactly right. He was a worker.
Now, when did he have that first trouble? In 19...
About 19 and, well, it was in the early 20s when he broke down. With
yeah.
The,
and he had to live with that till 1931?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah. And then your mother had the same trouble.
Yes, yes. And my older sister.
Oh, really?
My next older sister.
Oh, really?
And my oldest brother that died this spring, 81 years old.
Yeah.
He had it.
Yeah.
And Leo's got a trace of it.
Has he?
Yeah.
Does he take care of it?
Well, yes. He watches.
Yeah.
That is, it didn't get bad on him, but it showed up.
And,
but I, so far, I've been clear of it.
Laura's got a little touch of it.
Yes.
And
yes.
She's young.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, now listen, me or you can stand that sugar better than a person 21 years old.
Can we?
Yeah. Yeah. Young person.
They just don't have the patience.
Well, it's just harder on them. From some reason, I don't know why.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. The doctors claims that it's a young person break down with a bad case of sugar, it's putting you at fatal.
Yeah.
But an older person, they can doctor it, prolong their life. Wow.
How old was your daddy in 1920 when you all come back from Ohio?
He was about 63 years old.
Oh, that old?
62 or 3, yes. He died in 31 at 75 years old.
Well, he didn't. He done pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, now, that was pretty venturesome. Whose idea was it to go up there?
Him and my older brother, Bob.
Is that right?
My middle sister. They were 3 girls, and Chloe was the next oldest. Lucy was next. And then I have a sister younger than I am. I'm the next youngest in the family. And my middle sister lived up there. And they went up to visit her, and this was a new house. Just built right on a lot joining their lot,
mm-hmm.
where they own. And they talked them into buying it.
Oh.
Well, they had enough money on them, my dad and brother did, to pay a down payment on it.
Yeah.
To hold the deal.
Yeah.
Till we come down here and made the transaction and sold and got back up there.
Yeah.
So.
You sold out down here.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And just took it all up there. And
give it away.
Give it away. And went to a good deal of trouble to do it.
Why, sure, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And when you come back down here, you had them six $20 bills?
Well, no, I didn't have them when I come back. I sent them from my father, my daddy.
Yeah.
He come down here the 4th of July. Went around here and stayed the rest of the summer at my older sister around here on the other fork of Greenwich Creek. And he bought this place. I believe the deed was made, I was looking the other day, I believe it was made in August.
He got a hold of the place.
He bought it for me and my next two brothers to me.
To come back to him.
Well, he was coming too, you see.
Yes.
We was so near busted, we all had to go together to pay for the place.
Well, now.
And we paid I was looking at the deed just the other day when I thought I had this sold. I believe it's $450 we paid down on this. And paid for it 5 years in 5 yearly payments.
Oh.
That's what the deed sets for.
Yeah.
$400 a year.
Well, when he was that age, he expected to go up there and get work, too?
No. No, but he was a trader. Like Leo, that's where Leo gets his horse trading.
Yeah.
He's a horse trader. When he worked, he could work. He was a good worker.
Mm-hmm.
But if he'd hear of a trade somewhere, I've heard him set guy and line out 4 and 5 and 6 trades. Well, I'm going to trade. He had a horse. Well, I'm going to trade this horse for so-and-so. I can take that horse and trade to so-and-so.
Yeah.
Take that horse and trade to so-and-so. And he'd start out, maybe be gone 4 or 5 days, guy, and make every trade he'd planned.
Yeah. I'll be darned.
Well, he couldn't be satisfied at the there in town, sitting in the house, and there was a He called him, I forget, I believe they was Indians, lived out in the outskirts of town. We was out pretty well in the suburbs of town.
Yeah.
A new addition where they was building up.
Yeah.
This house we bought was new, nobody never lived in it.
Yeah.
So, this, I believe it was a Indian.
Mm-hmm.
He had hogs, horses, cows, had them tied in the fields.
Well, no fences.
No. My dad would spend his time out there during the day.
Yeah.
Couldn't stay away from stalk.
Yeah.
That's where Leo gets his training.
Yeah, that's all I see.
So, he got homesick. He come back for the 4th of July and didn't go back. Well, now that's a fact.
How about that? Yeah. How about that? And he could pick it up. He could make a living trading. You know, I think what happens is, when you're trading, the money comes so much easier than it does, or faster than it does when you work for it.
Well, yes. You take it if you watch yourself. Now, a lot of people claim that you can't trade and be honest. They count all traders crooks. But it's just like this guy you was telling me about that 2-year-old steer. If you'd say, well, if you'll come down there, I'll sell you that steer for $50. I'd go and get him, take him to market and make $100 on him. Have I wronged you? I'll give you just what you asked me.
Yeah.
I haven't wronged you. But if you was a straight out honest man, a hard working man and hard up, I wouldn't feel right over the deal.
Yeah.
For I'd give people back money that I've made off of them.
Yeah. Is that right?
Sure, that's right. Yes, sir. If it wasn't, I wouldn't sit here telling you.
Yeah.
I can tell you more instances than one.
Well, give me one.
Right up here, this neighbor right up here.
Yeah.
My son-in-law's daddy.
Yeah.
He was a daddy is running the farm. My son-in-law. Daddy is running the farm right here.
Yeah.
My son-in-law's farm. And they got some cattle. Well, he took a notion he didn't want to send them to the market. He don't like to go to the market. He didn't want to send them. And there was a fella come from Spencer. I'd been trading, taking in some good stuff. Well, this fella found out, and he come in here, went right up there, right against me, you see, and tried to buy this stuff. 6 head of good steel calves in the fall. Well, Junior's daddy asked him $125 a head. That's $750 for the 6 heads, you see. And he offered him $115. See? And Ashley wouldn't take it. And when he told me about it, I said, well, I had to give you $125 a head for him a long time ago. Took him off your hand. I said, he come in here to get ahead of me. I was taking some good stuff in there, and he come in here and aimed to buy right under my nose, you see. Pinhooker over there. And I said, I'd have given you that a long time ago. I said, don't sell them to me. So we was working up behind the bottom. My son-in-law was here helping. And I'd come down here and was working. Well, he followed me down, the old man did. He said, I'm going to sell you them calves. I'm going to... If you want to give me what I asked that fellow for them calves, I'll just sell them to you. I said, well, now, I didn't tell you that to buy them. I said, I don't want to buy them. Well, he said, I'm going to sell them to you if you don't back out. I said, well, I ain't going to back out. So I said, you'll give them somebody else. So I loaded, aimed to load them all, take them to market, but there was two got away from us, and I loaded four. Took them out there, and I made $162 on them. The forehead. Well, when I come back, I told him what I'd done, and I told my son-in-law, I said, now I'm going to just split that down the middle with you fellas. I ain't going to take it off of y'all.
Is that right?
And I did that, yes.
Yes, yeah.
That's right. And in another instance, a man down here on the creek staying with his, he had married and started a family, and his wife, something went wrong, and his wife left him. The kids growed up, and one boy in the service, and this fellow was staying with his dad, mother, and him and his sister. That wasn't just right, was staying with the dad and taking care of him. And he got knocked out, sick. Well, this fellow had bought a cow off of a neighbor up here, lived in the head of the creek. And the neighbor told him, said now he wanted to be fair with him. For once, he was a trader and he didn't care who he skinned, but he wanted to be fair with this fellow because he was a hard working, good man, hard up. He said, now when you get ready to sell this cow, I'll come and buy her and give you a good price for her. I'll give you all she's worth back. Well, she went bad in her milk, and I seen him down here at church one night, and he said, Nichols was his name, Oakey Nichols. He said, Boyle, said, tell Clay Bullard to come down. I'm ready to sell that cow. She went bad in the mill. Don't want to keep her. I said, well, all right. And he said, tell him to come right away for these people who don't want to buy her. And I said, promised Clay the refusal of it. So before Friday, he was working in the field here. I went up here and walked out on the lease where he was pumping his wells and found him one day and told him. Well, he said, I ain't got no rack for my truck. And he said, I've quit trading. He said, you go down and buy the cow off the man and treat him right. He said, I promised to do that. He said, you go down and buy.
Now that was who?
Oakey Nichols.
Oakey Nichols, yeah.
Yes.
He was out there on his lease.
No, Clay Bullard on his lease.
Clay Bullard.
And Oakey Nichols owned the cow.
I thought Clay Bullard was one of your big buyers or traders or something.
He was. At one time.
At one time, he quit.
But he had quit, you see, and didn't have no rack for his truck. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And sent me down to buy the cow. And he said, treat the man right. Give him a good deal. Well, I went down and asked him about the cow on Thursday evening. Well, he said he'd been wanting to buy her. Cattle dealers had. He said, I've been asking $100. But he said they'd offered me 90, and he said, if you want to buy her, if Clay sent you down to buy her, he said, I'll just sell her to you for $90. I said, no. Don't want her that way. I said, if I buy her, I'll give you $100. You ask. Well, he said, well, he said, I'm going to sell it to you for 90, and just continued to say he was going to sell it to me for 90. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go home and come down in the morning. I'm going to market. And I'll take the cow in, turn her in your name. You get what she brings. Give me whatever you want to for taking her in for you. And I'll be satisfied. No, he said, I'm going to sell her to you. I said, well, I'll bring you $100 then. And I took him down his $100 the next morning. Took her out there, and she just lacked a few cents of bringing me $150.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes.
Just lacked a few cents.
And you knew she'd bring a good price.
Well, I knowed she'd. That's the reason I contended for to give him his $100. I knew he wasn't asking too much.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
So, when I got the check, I felt bad over it in a way. Still, I hadn't done wrong. See what I mean?
That's right.
Giving more than he was going to ask me.
Yeah.
So, next time, when I got the check cased, I just took a $20 bill and a $5 out and doubled them together and stuck them in the pocketbook where I could get to them.
Yeah.
And when we was having cottage prayer meeting, and I went down to my brother's down here, cottage prayer meeting one night, and he was there, and then we went out to walk. I just walked up by him and stuck the $20 bill and the $5 in his shirt pocket, and I said, okay. I said, now don't lose that. I said, that's that's the money. He said, you don't owe me no money. I said, yes, I do. I said, that's the extra money I made on that cow. I made too much profit on it. And I said, now there's a $20 bill and a $5 there. Well, he just stopped, and his voice kind of trembled. He was a sympathetic fellow, and
yeah.
A good man. So he said, well, he said, you know, he said, you don't know how I thank you. He said, I'll go to Spencer tomorrow. He had one eye. Boyd flipped him in the eye when he was a boy to put one eye out with a gravel, a slingshot.
Yeah.
And he said he had to keep facial glasses, you see, for the see. He said, I'll go to Spencer and finish paying for my glasses tomorrow and pay for my dad's medicine I got.
Yeah.
I didn't have the money to pay for it. Now, guy, that's the truth.
Yeah.
I never lived to get up off of this cow. And that done me more good than if I'd had that $20 bill and $5 in my pocket.
Well, you know, it's kind of like it's, when Leo does his trading. He tells us sometimes about the trades he makes, and he says he cleaned the plow. Well, he's been at considerable expense to clean that plow. He's had to got to maintain his rig, and he got to take a trip or two. Ain't anything ever just comes easy.
Is the kitchen door? Oh, yeah, that's right.
What do you want?
So he's at some expense.
Huh?
It ain't all clear money.
No.
Need a little help?
No, it ain't for money. No, but you see, guy, that particular point there, I wanted to see about the market anyhow.
Yeah.
Went right. The cow was right on my way down here.
Oh, I see.
He helped me load her, and all I done was fetch him $100.
Yeah.
Money. And went out there and made 50.
Yeah.
When that was a. Back at that time, it took me a week to make that.
Yeah. Now, that's been some time?
Yeah.
Yes, that's been a good while.
Yes. Yes, it's been.
That's
see,
$50 it, was a right smart amount.
Yes, you see, I've been retired since 63, and it was while I was driving school bus.
Yeah.
It was the first sale it went to after the school went out.
Oh, yeah.
In the spring.
Oh, I see. One advantage of working riding the school bus was you, they let you out for the summer.
Yeah.
And if you got on with the road department or somebody like that, you see, they tied you down.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. That's right. That's where, guy, this place right here, if that young fellow that was wanting my place here, if he would have considered right, they're paying good money now to what they paid when I started driving bus.
Yeah.
They're paying $350.
Oh, they do?
A month now.
Yeah.
Well, he had two children. He could have got a job driving the bus here in Clay for the schools, parked it right down in front of his door.
Yeah.
But he's got a good job.
Mom? Mom, this would have been a better job. I'd rather have it.
Well,
if I was a young man, it was more money for him.
But he got a job already at Preston.
At Preston Oil.
Yeah.
Or gas, whatever. Yeah, he works every day, makes good
mm-hmm.
money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I was going to...
He's tied up every day, but he gets off early.
What I was going to say... If a young man that didn't have a good job would come in here with some young'uns.
Yeah.
And get a job of driving the school bus, he'd have a job, and all he'd have to do, walk right out, and the county would pay his transportation and back to school and back, you see. And it would be... It would be worthwhile for a young man.
Yeah. Now, you can't get as much selling to a fellow like that as you can to an outsider.
What you mean? How do you mean?
Well, somebody who don't live around here, you see, will pay you more.
Well, I don't know whether they will or not.
Well, you take it, you get 20 or 25 from a fella who lives around here, and you could get 30 or 35 from somebody who lives way off, you see?
Yeah.
Who lives where it costs more to live, and property costs a lot more.
Well, yes, you see, that's where we was offered $1,500 more money. The fellow sat right down the swing. He was a real estate man, but he said, I'll bring you $31,500.
Yeah.
Well, this young couple, I promised him a refusal of it at $30,000.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't take $31,500 because I couldn't go back on my word with him.
Yeah.
But it's from some reason they didn't want to sacrifice. Well, they wasn't sacrificing, but they wouldn't put their place that they had to sell down like the FHA man wanted them to. He advised them a half a dozen times, I'd expect, to take the $12,000 that they'd been offered for their little place across here that they owned. And he said he had the other $18,000, and he'd set him in here on a good farm.
Oh, don't tell me.
Huh?
Is that right?
But the woman wouldn't come down. She asked more for her place, that they would take $12,000 for.
She asked $15,000.
I don't care.
It's not worth it.
I don't care what
what it was. As long as they would, FHA would handle the rest of it, they just couldn't turn that down.
Well, they did.
They did. Now they did.
I tell you what, I think.
Lord, Leo, did you ever hear anything like that?
Let me tell you, they better not make me an offer like that.
Well, now I tell you what.
You start driving that school bus, huh?
I tell you what, no, I start heading for Florida to get my junk.
Yeah.
I tell you what, this FHA man now, twirls on a sudden here. He said, young lady, he said, you're the ones in trouble. You'd better get your $12,000 man. Take your $12,000 for your place.
Yeah.
Well, here's the point. He had loaned them $1,500 when they bought the place.
Yeah.
And they still owed $550 on them, the FHA loan. So the FHA man knew what they was getting.
Yeah.
See what I mean? For he'd got his information from the soil conservation man over here on the map that was taken from the air, you see.
Yeah. Well, ain't nobody ever come around and offered me things like that. I tell you the truth.
Well, now, Mom sat right by.
They don't take my interest in heart.
Mom sat right by and heard it.
No,
he said, the FHA man, he said, now, young lady, he said, you're the ones in trouble. He said, you ain't got no buyer.
Yeah.
You see what she wanted?
She wanted to put us off 3 months long.
Well,
so
Mom.
So maybe they could get the $15,000. Wanted to tie us up another 3 months.
Yeah.
And he said, now, they don't want to be tied up.
That
and
was the FHA man, you see. If he'd have went to processing our place, but we didn't have a leg to stand on, you see. We had a buyer for our place at what we was asking, and they lacked $3,000 having a man up to what they was asking for those.
Yeah.
And he told them, like she said, he told her, he said, young lady, you're in trouble. He said, you're wanting more money. And you'd better take the $12,000. And he just kept repeating it. He said, you better take the $12,000.
He
said, get your $12,000 man.
Yeah.
And we'll start processing it. And let the same lawyer pick up both deeds.
I swear to goodness.
And that's just how
near
we sold.
And she just wouldn't back down. She said, we won't take less than $15,000.
Wouldn't take less. And
that
wasn't the thing you could do about it?
No.
The FHA man or the man himself?
Well, we
just didn't tie up till they got us. It got us off of the hook.
Why, we wasn't going to tie up.
See, we tied up.
When we was offered the $31,500.
Turned that down.
Yeah.
Man sat right down
to
the swing.
Yeah.
Up to 3 months longer.
Oh, I see. They wanted 3 months longer.
Well, the FHA man, if he went to processing it.
Yeah.
But you see, if they couldn't have got their $15,000, why, he'd have still had to loan them the $18,000, and she done said a half a dozen times she wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
12, you see. So he tried to get her to see the point. He said, we've got the $18,000 if you'll just get the 12 off of your man.
Yeah. That's too much for me. I don't know. I wouldn't go. I wouldn't be a businessman. I tell you the truth.
Well, now, here we had...
He's been in the business for a long time.
Yeah.
We had to call a halt to this tying up for 3 more months, you see what I mean? When they didn't have no prospect of selling for $15,000.
Yeah.
That's why he told her half a dozen times or more, said, you better get your $12,000 man if you want your good farm. And he said, also, we'll put your 10 head of cows on that place.
Oh, really?
What he said.
Well, I'll be done. Well, I swear. Ain't that something?
I didn't get that away when I started.
No.
They didn't come around and figure things out for you, did
no,
they?
No, no.
Yeah.
So.
But you still paid for your place in 4 or 5 years.
5 years, yes. And.
Did it push you?
Yes.
You just had to put your mind to it.
I tell you what I had. I had a black cow here that I was milking. I milked a long time. Milked for my mother when I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I'd milk the milk and bring it in. And there was a neighbor man lived down here in the hall that was sick.
Yeah.
Supposed to be. And she'd drain out a gallon of milk from that cow every morning. And the boy would come and carry it down there. It didn't cost him a dime. Gallon of milk a day.
But you had to milk it.
Yes, I had to milk the cow. But we got in such a cramp in the, when the one note come due, I had to let her go on the note. Had to let the
that black cow.
Black milk cow go on the note.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was before we was married, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was before. She went at $90.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big price for a cow, but she was a good milk cow.
Yeah.
She gave us enough milk and furnished this neighbor man down here a gallon a day for his family.
Yeah.
And that was sweet. That was sweet, Gladys.
Well, what did you do for a milk cow?
Well,
you didn't wait to raise one.
I just can't recall. That's been a way back then. But we didn't do without milk long. And up until, I'd say, 5 or 6 years ago, we didn't know what it was to even buy a small can of milk, condensed milk. We always had a cow.
Yeah.
Always had milk.
My dad gave me a New Jersey cow when we was married.
Yeah.
And we've owned a cow ever since. I don't know, maybe that was the next cow I owned when I got her and the cow.
Yeah. You got her and they threw in a cow.
Yeah. But he got cheated. Oh, well. People are funny. Guy.
Yes, sir. There's some funny things happening in the world. But that's FHA business. That's too much for me.
Well, there's a lot of money being lost. A lot of people are getting their homes.
Guy, that happened. That happened just, about a month ago.
As hard as it is for people to get credit these days, they just turned it down. I'll swear. Well, now, that's the kind of family that ought to be up here, where they can raise their children.
Well, they've got a boy and a girl, and as nice of children as you ever met. The girl's just a doll. She's 14 years old. She'll walk in a church and sit down and play the piano.
Yeah, already.
Already, she's just a doll. Currently.
In the meantime, of this. Getting ready for this loan, their boy, they had to take him and have his teeth straightened. His lower teeth was growing back.
Up in here.
And had to get braces and major. Had to pay a lot for that.
Yeah.
I believe they thought that would
$1,300. It cost them $1,300, she said.
Yeah.
To get these.
Braces to draw them teeth out.
The lower jaw here went, the teeth went up in.
Yeah. and kept the roof of his mouth sore.
His gums bite his teeth up here sore on the inside.
Yeah. But he could pay for the place with the school bus.
Yes, yeah, so he could pay for the place with his job. He's got a good job here for the company. Right here. And he the wells that he tends comes right down up here in the head of the creek.
They're right around.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He'd have been right on his job.
Yeah, but well,
if it had been better money, which I expect the company's job is better money than the school bus
so.
Would have been.
Yeah.
And he gets off early.
I've an idea he gets $500 a month. I've an idea he does.
He gets Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off.
In that case, he could just let place pay for itself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Buffering is what done it. Turn the
crank.
Well, now, I tell you, I could put hot water on it and see it as it limbered up.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets stiff again.
Hmm.
And but the hot water wouldn't take the soreness out. And that buffering took the soreness out, Burl. I'll tell you, that's they kept telling me, the doctor kept telling me that, and I wouldn't...
You wouldn't listen.
I would like to... Get a girl in the FHA man. I just had my own idea.
In other words, guy, you was like Collins or Lamb, you had to have your own.
Yes, and it was wrong, too. Well. Do you figure you learned a little bit from your daddy?
Why, sure.
Picked up a little bit on the trading and things like that?
Oh, why, sure. Yeah. Why, guy? You know... It surprised you. You never raised no young'un, did you?
No.
Surprised you how quick they pick up after the daddy or mother.
Oh, I see.
Why, our oldest daughter was just a little thing. She, Leo wasn't born then. She's almost 4 years older than Leo. And we had a bunch of New Hampshire red chickens here, young chickens. And we fed them in the, right out here in the backyard.
He's right down along there.
You know, we're sitting here talking, I might as well turn this on. Go ahead and tell them. Don't stop, go ahead. Won't take
it. So I went out there one day to feed them, I don't know. But anyhow, I went out there to feed them, and I just went to, they would just swarm around you guys you couldn't walk.
Yeah.
For it. And I just went to kicking and knocking them out of my way and hollering shoo. And I didn't watch my language pretty good. I just said, shoo out of here, you son of a you-know-what, you know?
Yeah.
And went on about my business, got the feed. And here that little young, just a little tot. 2 or 3 years old, I expect. Went out there one day and the chickens just all swarmed around her and she couldn't walk. And she just went to kicking and fighting them and hollering, shoo, you son of a you know what. So that learned me to watch my language before the children.
Yeah.
Our oldest one learned me that.
Yeah. They pick it up so fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, what I learned was, you know, you use big words these days.
Yeah.
What I learned was, you see, I've been in the school business all the time. And a lot of times, you see, I was trying to teach them something that they didn't want to learn. Well, and then teaching it to them right out of the book. And what I found, way yonder after too late, was, I found, you see, if some of these young people would come out here, you see, and listen to us talk a little bit, they don't talk. They don't tell you things. But if they'll sit around for half a day and listen, or less than that, why, they'll know how to tell things the rest of their life. In other words, if it's in the culture, that's the way I heard a fella talk of it. If it's in the culture, if it's
mm-hmm.
something that they exposed to, they pick it up. You don't have to learn them.
Yeah.
Well, now what does that do to all this school business?
Well,
it makes a whole lot of it, you
yes,
see.
Yes,
just,
yes.
Just
yes, that's right.
Beside the point.
That's right, yeah.
But yours, your case is the best one.
Well, in other words, when anything happens right direct to you, why, it's to the point.
Yeah.
You know it. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just one of these things that
But now you were old enough, you see, when your daddy was still active. Now he would sit down there and sort of map out the day, and he'd have half a dozen trades in his mind.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you said?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And he'd start out and maybe be gone 3 or 4 days before he'd make 4 or 5, and when he'd come back, he'd make every trade he talked about before he left home.
And then when he'd come back, he'd tell you about them.
Well, sure, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he loved to talk about.
Yeah, like one time, I never would trade on his stuff. And he traded, and you know what original is? Original horse?
No.
The seeds doesn't come down. They're not visible. They're up in the body.
Oh.
Well, horse trader come in here and traded him original horse. He didn't know it. He's a young horse.
Yeah.
3 or 4 year old. Orange gray horse. And he got so sick of it, whenever he'd make a bad trade, he'd get sick.
Oh, would he?
Yes, yes. I could tell when he's out of trading whether he'd, and he'd know, usually know before he'd get in home if he had any bad faults or didn't travel like he always thought to or something.
Yeah.
He'd be sick when he come in.
Yeah, and you could tell it.
Yes, I could tell it.
Is that right?
So.
You're lucky.
So.
You
when he got this original horse, it made him sick. Couldn't turn him out, you know.
Yeah.
Fellow told him after he traded him to him not to turn him out. And he knows what was wrong, you see. And he was worse than that stallion colt up there.
Yeah.
Around another horse. And he found it out. It made him so sick he puked putting near it.
Oh.
And I was going to mail one day down here. And he said to me, he said, "Now, Burl," he said, "take that horse off." He swore then. And hadn't made no profession. Anything. And he swore. He said, with an oath to it, he said, "take that horse off." He said, "I'm tired of looking at it." Well, I never thought, come rode down to the mill on down creek down here, below the forks of the creek, about a mile and a half, to the mill, got my grist and started back. Well, this fella down here at the forks of the creek, a man by the name of Gandy, seen me going down on the horse, and he took a liking to him, and he had an old horse that man by the name of Summers had raised his family on over here, you might say, and he'd traded him off, and this old man had him down there. And he baited me for a trade. He said, "How'd you trade me that horse, young horse, for old Fox?" His name was Fox. "Oh," I said, "he's too old." He said, "You'd have to give me some boot." "Well," he said, "I don't have no money." He had a blacksmith shop there. One of these old Bellises, you know, you've seen him way back.
Yes, sir.
Well, he had that, and he had I've got the anvil down there yet.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Did it come from there?
Yes. I traded for it, traded Dad's horse. For the old horse, and I got his shop, and he gave me $10. And when I come home and told him...
Well, he really wanted that horse, didn't he?
Huh?
Did he sell in his house and lot?
So when I come home riding old Fox, I rode him up out there in the yard, took my grist off, just tickled my dad to death. He was the best tickled man I ever saw.
Yeah.
Well, I said... He said, well, he said, "You made a good trade." I hadn't never told him. Well, I said, "Dad," I said, "we have to go down and get that blacksmith shop I got." I gave him $10, you know. "What?" he said. "You got a blacksmith shop, too, besides this horse and $10? I said, "Yes." Well, he said, "I'll just give you the shop." I said, "You go get it." He said, "It's yours." He said, You cheated the man bad enough." He said, "I'm satisfied with old Fox." He
said. And Leo says, "You cleaned his plow."
Yeah. And he said, "Now," he said, "Boyle," he said, "I've been trying to get you to trade on my stuff, and you won't do it. Now," he said, "I want you to break loose." He said, "If you make a bad trade," he said, "you can't do worse than I do sometimes." He said, "I get cheated." But he said, "A boy that can trade like you, make a trade like you made here," he said, "I'm not afraid for him to trade on my stuff."
Yeah, I guess not. That's something, I'm telling you. Now, how old was you when you done that?
Oh, I was 22 years old or three.
Well, you married when you...
That is just a while before we was married.
Oh, I see.
It's after we come back here.
Well, now, did you know he could do that?
You
didn't know that much about him,
did you? No, we went together. Yes, she. Time.
But he didn't talk to you about
trade.
He didn't
talk trade.
No.
He didn't get it from Dad.
I see.
Well,
your dad wasn't a trader, too.
No, he wasn't.
Well, now that happened to me right here in my neighborhood.
Well, did the horse, what you call it, original horse, work out?
Well, the fellow traded him off, but now, mind you, I didn't go off. He didn't ask me no questions. But I was afraid to go off and trade him to him, you see, and not tell him. Not give him an idea.
Yeah.
I said, after I got my saddle on old Fox, got my grist on, ready to start, got on the old Fox, I said, "Now, Mr. Gandy," I said, "you want to be careful about turning that horse out." I said, "You don't have no fence here." And I said, "People ride this road, women ride this road." I said, "He's liable to get you in trouble." And he kind of stuttered. what's wrong? Is he original? Well, I said, you'd better watch. I said, you didn't ask me, but I'm telling you, you'd better watch. You'll get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, that gave him an idea, you see.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people would say that wasn't fair, but he didn't ask me. See the point? Really, I wouldn't do that today. I'm honest about it.
Yeah.
But
he'd come back on you.
Well.
Well, you had more.
No. A man couldn't come back on me if I'd trade a man an original horse and tell him to not turn him out. There's people riding the road here, might get you in trouble. And he'd go far enough to know why the horse was on the trading market. He was a fine horse.
Fine horse.
Yeah.
But there wasn't nothing you could do for him.
Well, not at that time, but now a veterinary would throw him and go in his flank here and take them out. And
in other words, he was a stallion and you didn't know it.
Yes. Yes, they was hid.
Yeah.
See? But they called him original, you see.
But just as soon as you said you wouldn't let him out, he knew what
happened. Well, yes. And he knowed.
He'd handle horses enough.
Yes, he was a horse man. He knew he's too fine a looking horse would be on the trading market like that.
Yeah.
See what I mean? I'd traded him too cheap for his looks.
Oh, I see.
To the man.
Yeah. In other words, he didn't have much down there.
No, I didn't get much, but still, my dad went out and made a killer with the old horse.
Oh, he hit it lucky on the old horse.
Yes. Got two cows. Cows wasn't high then, you know, $10 or $15 a head. He got two cows and a nice spotted pony, about 700-pound pony.
Yeah. What was your horse name?
Fox.
Fox. Yeah. Gallon.
Yeah. Oh, I know the old horse. He was raised right over here. And this old man's boy, he drank. And he'd get on him and he'd run these roads with him just as hard as he could run, drunk, you know. I'd knowed the horse all.
You mean run these roads out here?
Yes, yeah.
Up and down?
Yes. Drunk. Just run him. He'd just run him till he'd be a lather of sweat. Good old horse.
Well, now, I could see him getting down here in the meadow and running it, but good Lord, that horse had to have feet, didn't he?
Well, he had shoes on.
But he still wouldn't be able to stand up on them rocks.
Yes, a good riding horse. Why, I've owned riding horses. Single foot, several miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Right up that hill there.
Yeah, but you didn't race them.
Oh,
did you?
Well, I tell you what, people was funny back in them day.
Yeah. You didn't have a horse didn't have speed and not to use it, did they?
Well, some of them did.
That's too much for me.
Well, it's
too much.
Oh, a guy, a fella. Can just think back over the years, And you wonder how he got along.
Old man Gandy didn't keep the horse off.
No, he traded him off. He made a good trade with him.
Yeah.
No, he didn't keep him long.
Well, now that pretty horse had to stop somewhere, bro. Where would he stop? Who could use him?
Well, he stayed in the trader's hands. Stayed in the trader's hands.
Yeah.
So
it hasn't started raining, has it?
No.
It better not, because I got to put that tarp back down.
Like Art Linkletter on television, people are funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still on or not. We don't
get nothing but Channel 4. I don't know.
That's what
Tarn
doing
is
up the high. We never.
Your daddy come from Virginia.
That's it.
Blount County.
What? What?
Blount County.
No, Russell County.
Russell County.
Russell County, Virginia.
I missed that, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
My ancestors come from England.
Oh, really?
My dad's ancestors come from England. They was English.
Russell County, Virginia. Well, it ain't anywhere in Virginia. It ain't any distance from West Virginia.
No.
Now, you take all up and down that valley where we crossed yesterday, you see, you could go up and down that valley and just come over into West Virginia anywhere along the line.
Well, West Virginia, I believe, was a part of Virginia at one time, wasn't it?
That's right, it was. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Way back.
Mm-hmm.
I forget when they traded.
Well, I do. I do, too.
Oh, it was the Civil War. Virginia went with the South, and West Virginia went with the North.
Mm-hmm.
I may be making that up.
I expect that's about right. I don't know. I didn't study history enough to find out.
I didn't either. Now, you were telling me about your daddy. Where was it he hit West Virginia? Did you say?
Yes. Where he put up when he come to West Virginia, I don't know how he come.
Yeah.
But he come through when he crossed the Tug River. He crossed the Tug River at Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And when he left the old man where raised him, father died when he was 12 years old, I believe.
Yeah.
And this old man by the name of Jones, he had a boy, and he told him, he said, they was hard up, you see, and his father died. This old man, Jones, told him that if he'd come and stay with him and help with the farm and work till he was, I don't know how old he was, 12 or maybe 15. I said 12, but maybe he was a little older than that. But anyhow, He told him if he'd stay till he's 21 years old, he'd buy him the best suit of clothes he could buy, and a horse, bridle, and saddle. Good young horse, bridle, and saddle.
That put him on his feet.
Well, that'd give him something to look forward to when he was 21.
Yeah.
See what I mean? And he took old man Jones up, and they gave him a good home, but he was a hard worker. Old man Jones was a hard worker.
Yeah. So the boy learned to work.
Yes, yeah. And I've heard him tell about they raised a lot of wheat in Virginia. And they'd start around the big bottom, cradled it with a grain cradle.
Oh.
And this Jones boy was a slim, slender. My daddy was chubby, heavy like set, and got awful heavy when he got older. And they would cradle together. No, I believe my father would cradle, and the Jones boy would bind. Well, they would go after they'd get the wheat took care of on the old man Jones farm while they'd start out hunting for wood. Well, he went to an old farmer, had a big bottom, and he was wanting harvesters. And Dad had his cradle on his back, and the Jones boy was with him to bind after him, you see. They was a team to go out.
That's the way they done.
Yeah, yeah. So this old fella said why. He said, you can't. He said, I need men, but he said, I can't hire you boys. He said, you fellas, the Jones boy was slim, slim. He said, you fellas can't stand the way I work. He said, I've got a buck nigger hard. Give him a quarter more on the day for to push the leads forward. He takes the leads forward. Well, they had the bag for a job. And in the talk, Dad said, well, he said, look here, I called him name, he knowed his name. He said, all I ask of you is to give us a chance. If we can't make a hand, both of us can't make a hand like your other men, he said, we'll step down and out and won't ask you to pay us nothing. We can't make a hand. He said, all I ask of you is to put me next to your buck nigger. he said, you wouldn't last till noon. And my dad said, now, he said, that's all I ask. He said, we're out hunting a job. We're going to get a job somewhere. And he said, that's all I ask of you. If you think I can't stand it, he said, I'll drop out. He said, I'll not hold the other men up.
Yeah.
He said, if I can't stay out of the way, he said, I'll drop out.
Yeah.
Well, all right. But now he said he pushes. Well, Dad said, all I ask of you is to let me cut in next to the buck table, next to lead forward. So, worked the first day, went along pretty moderate. Whenever the buck nigger would step up and make a swath, lick with his cradle, my dad'd step up and even it up. But that's the way he pushed it, first day. First day at noon, when they went into dinner, he said, called the old fellow by name, he said, Mossy, he said, believe to my soul, this young fellows are going to take my swath. So that eased up on him. But here's the point. If he'd have took it the last day, the last half a day before they finished up the harvest, He got the lead wages from the time he started.
Oh.
That was his ruling.
Yeah.
See? And he wasn't. He wasn't. Didn't want to push too hard.
Yeah.
You see, he didn't push him out too quick.
Yeah.
He just eased along there, and the second day at noon, when they went in to dinner, the old fellow wanted to know, said, "Well, how are you getting along?" Talking to his leader. He said, "This boy's going to take him." He said, I can't stay out of his way. He said, today he's cutting a swath ahead of me. Swath ahead of me. So, my dad knowed he had him. Now there's something funny. My dad drank coffee. These other fellows in the harvest field, they'd go in. Well, you can go in now and get that jar of buttermilk and drink two glasses, and you're so poor here you can't do nothing.
Oh.
Glucky.
Oh.
My dad drank, and this young fella, Jones, would drink 2 cups of hot coffee every day for dinner.
Oh.
And Jones, you can remember seeing old stiff celluloid collars. Remember?
Yeah.
He could wear one of them and bind wheat all day.
Oh.
Never soil it. Never sweat it. Now that's unusual.
Oh, man.
A person would think to hear me tell this that it wasn't so. But now that's what my dad told me a many times. He said he went out afternoon, and the old buck nigger said, "Mossy," he said, "just slow up just a little bit." He said, "You're crowding me too much." He said, "Well," he said, "I'm not at my best yet." So, my dad waited till about 2:30. The old man come out in the field with his buggy with water and a lunch about 2:30 or 3 o'clock. Well, when my dad seen him coming, he was straight walking. Just walked as straight as a ramrod.
Your dad?
Yeah. And he stood up straight. I couldn't do it. I cradled and used to be a good cradler in my time when I was young. He stood up this way, and he'd just come around this way with that cradle and get her full. Straight as a ramrod. And he just went to pressing the old buck nigger a while before the old man, they was expecting him to come. When he seen him coming way out the way, well, my dad went to crowding up. You know, he pressed that old buck nigger till his fellow went in the grain on his cradle. Before the old man got there with it, and he run up with his water. And
had to throw some on him, huh?
Well, I don't know about that, but anyhow. He pressed him till he fell over in the grain on him. Great.
Yeah. And you heard your daddy tell that story?
Many a time.
That's when he started out.
That's when he was. That's while he was working for the old man Jones. That's while he was working his horse out. Oh, I tell you what, they worked then.
That was Lewis.
They worked then.
Well, now, how far along was it when he got over there where that horse was that you told me about?
About he traded for?
Yeah.
Well, That was when he started out, when he left old man Jones's and started, I don't know why, never did learn why he picked West Virginia. To leave Virginia, he come down through Kentucky, what did I say, the Catholicsburg, Kentucky. Crossed the Tug River, swam his horse across the Tug River. Way, right, it was out of his banks.
Yeah.
And they tried to keep him from.
How to do? All right, I guess.
That's my daughter-in-law there, Mr. Mao.
Good morning.
Good daughter-in-law. I bet you've met them before, haven't you?
Yeah.
This old fella traded. He heard about this horse, and he wanted to trade him. Couldn't get him out of the barn, this gray eagle stallion.
Yeah.
And old fella banded him for a trade.
Yeah.
Well, he was almost afraid to trade with him. My dad talked him into the notion, you see. He was a young man, this gray eagle horse, stallion, was such a fine horse that they was afraid of him when he come to Horton's Mills down here on Big Sandy.
Was it?
Yes. So, he...
Big horse.
Yes.
Stallion and big.
Yes. But he was an outlaw. When the fellow banned him for trade, and I said he's an outlaw, he said, I'll help you get the bridle on him, but he said you can't control him. He said he's got us all whooped out. He said when we take him out of the barn to clean the barn out, about once or twice a year, we put four ropes on him, four ways.
Oh, he just kept him for breeding.
He just kept him because he couldn't handle him.
Couldn't get rid of him.
That's right. And my dad said, well, he said, if I trade for him, he said, all I ask you to do is to hold the door. And he said, let me in when I get ready. He said, I'll get me a club. He said, I'll go in and I'll put the bridle on him. So you've heard of frail, ain't you? The frail wheat whip?
Yeah.
Did you ever
hit
it a hickory and they had about a 2 foot, they pounded it with a hammer, made it limber, about 2 foot up, and they left the handle.
Yes.
Well, after a while, where they pounded this and made it limber so they could hit that wheat and thrash it out,
yes,
with that 2 foot piece there where they used to thrash the wheat with,
yes,
whale the wheat with.
Yeah.
All right. They didn't have to stoop over, you see. It would bend down this way.
Yeah.
See? And they could stand straight and fail the wheat.
Yeah.
Well, finally it would break off here at where it was hammered, you see.
Yeah.
And they one of them handles laying there. He just picked it up, hickory handle. And it's good and solid, hadn't rotted yet. But where it was pounded here, come off. You see, war and come off. Now he said, all I ask you to do is to open the door and let me in. And if he gets too tight on me, when I say I want out, open the door and let me out so he won't hurt me. He said, that's all I ask you to do. He wanted to get fellas to help lasso him and get the bridle on him, you know. Dad said, no. He said, I'm going to bridle him myself. So he walked in there, and that horse was in the four corner. And he seen him at the door, and he made a turn, opened his mouth, and made a wazoo at him. My dad was active and young. He just jumped to one side and hit him between the eye and ear. Knocked him down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he got up, Well, and when he got to the corner, it was the other corner. And when he come back, he just stepped to the other side and hit him on the other side and knocked him down again.
Yeah. Your dad was tall.
Yeah, yeah. And he said when he went to the other corner, he went to the other corner and he come back. And he stood down, looked at him, and he said, "Come here, Scott." His name was Scott. Now, he knocked him down twice. Well, he come at him the third time. And he knocked him down the third time. And he went back, got up and finally, and went back to the before he sighted the barn. When he called to him again, he said, "Come here, Scott." He come with his ears up. And his mouth wasn't open.
Yeah.
Woke up and put his head up over my dad's shoulder.
Yeah.
My dad put the bridle on him and let him out. He rode him up and down through town. And he told this old fellow before he traded, now he said, "You'll have to keep me a few days." Said, "I can't ride this horse." Said, and he told him where he was traveling, horseback. In other words, it was something had drawn him. He got connected with mother close down here. And they was married soon after he come to this country. So I don't know why they wasn't hadn't acquainted, hadn't got acquainted. He just come in here a stranger, rank stranger. Turn the door, honey, now. So he told this old fella, now he said, "You'll have to keep me a few days till I get this horse cuffing in a little bit." Said, "I'll ride him around." And when he started to got him out, got on him, rode him up and down through.